Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I base this, I'm going to return to the scriptures, but I base this on an expression by Oswald Chambers, who said, and I've been saying it ever since he said it. He said it first, but I'm saying it now. Trust God and take the next step. Trust God, take the next step. That's what he said. One time when they were going over to Japan, and boy, Japan in 19, whatever year that was, it was not like it is now. So there's a lot of things that he wasn't sure what would happen. When he gets there, will there be accommodations? Will there be language help? There was all kinds. And his wife was laying on the deck chair on the boat, and he was laying on the deck chair. And she said, Oswald, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? He said, we're going to trust God and take the next step. And she said, what is the next step, though? What's the next step? And he says, I believe I'll take a nap. And he lay down and slept for 2 hours. That was the next step. And he actually believed that after that step, there would be another step, and then there would be another step, and there'd be another step, and another step. That there would always be, that if you step out, there will always be another step. And I thought, what an encouraging thing that is for all of us. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. With ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have, verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Verse 8, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 10, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. The treasure is in the vessel. The vessel is me. The vessel is you. The treasure is Jesus. I'm only at the very most I can ever be, and the very most that you can ever be is a receiver. You can't manufacture anything. You can't create anything. You can't force anything. You and I are merely receivers and manifestors. I can manifest the life of Jesus, but I can't create the life of Jesus. That's all I can be. I can be a receiver. That's all I can do. Can't take it beyond that. But being me and being you is not difficult in some strange way. It's not difficult to be or to do. There's an ease to it. I must relish my humanness. That's one of the greatest things you can do, to be human. And to cherish that you and I are perfect for the job. The job that God's called me to do, the job that God's called you to do, you're absolutely fitly framed perfectly. There's an ease with that. Just be who you are. You say, well, doesn't it hurt if you become too human and not spiritual enough? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm the vessel. Jesus is the treasure. And if I will simply let the life of God in Jesus flow through me, I will bear unbelievable fruit, and you will bear unbelievable fruit. Somebody said this, that they were the vessel by which the world drinks. And I would think that's true. The world will only have you to draw from, or me to draw from. And so I'm his perfect instrument for his holy purposes on the earth. Imagine that, getting up in the morning and saying, Lord, thank you that your life is now flowing through me, that the treasure is in the earthen vessel, and I'm yielding to you. Do where you want. Let's go where you want us to go. What you want me to say, whatever you want, Lord, that I am yours now. I will be yours tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I am your perfect instrument for your holy purposes on the earth. That makes you have a difference when you get up in the morning. That there is something about you that is absolutely unique. If you try too hard, there'll be a religiousness about you, and that won't be good. You want to just to have that naturalness where you are, God wants you to be completely who you are, not beyond, not different, exactly as you are. You and I are his perfect instrument for his holy purposes. So I must see myself, whom living waters are flowing. I prayed that on the way over here this morning, that the Lord would just flow through me today to somebody, to one individual perhaps, that and they would be encouraged and they would be blessed because these living waters are flowing out of your innermost being. Livers, that's good. Living waters are flowing out from my life and flowing out from your life. And we have this great adventure that God is using you and using me and using each one of us. You see, what I'm really trying to say, I guess, is that my humanity is God's asset, not a problem. I'll say that again. My humanity is God's asset. My function is to be in union with Christ, day in and day out. I'm a vessel. I can't produce his life. I wish I could, but I can't. All I can do is yield and say, Lord, let your life flow through me. And even so, even your handshake, that there's a something about your handshake, something about your smile that people are drawn to because it's just who you are and the encouragement that you are in producing that. I can only express it. I can't produce it. I can only express it. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, one of my life verses, is that I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, living the life, I'll come to that again. That life that I live is a beautiful thing. And yours is beautiful to you too, I know that. So Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ, it's really living the life. Owen has to die in order for life to come forth, as he does for you. Crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. What a mystery. I live. Yet, not I. It's not me. It's the Lord flowing through me, through you, that makes it beautiful. It's not all, we don't want all vessel. And we don't want, certainly we don't want all vessel. We want the treasure to be seen too. And it will be seen. I must live in the reality of the alive and the living one. The one who's alive and living. And every day, that's the secret of this life. People say, I find the Christian life hard. That's because you haven't gone far enough in it. If you go further in it, you'll be okay with it. But you won't find this life difficult. You'll find it impossible. Absolutely impossible. It cannot be pulled off. Can't be pulled off. If you want to do it, try it. Try it to pull that off, that you obey every single thing that comes out of these pages. You're going to be finally like myself, oh, wretched man that I am. I can't do that. Lord, you'll have to do that through me. You'll have to work through me, in me and through me, in me and through me, in me and through me. It can't be me, because I can't do it. I can't pull it off. When he says, be holy as I am holy. Lord, that's too big an assignment for me. I turn it over to you, that your life will flow through me, and everything that you demand will be met by you. So the Lord uses us for his glory and for his honor, and we have this wonderful, wonderful joy of being his instrument. You know, imagine, here we are. Let's just say there's 70 people here today. The service. Can you imagine 70 people released who understand what their role is, that they're following the living one, the alive one? And you say, Lord, here I am. It's going to be a rough day, Lord. I got all this happening. It's going to happen. Would you just take over? Would you use me? Will you somehow carve a place for me? And of course, the answer is, the Lord says, yes. Yes, I yield to me. So I must live in the reality of the alive and living one. So we cry out, feed me, Lord, with yourself. Speak to my soul. Just speak to my soul about what I should do today and the next day and the next day and the next day. and the wonderful thing that God has. But I think I've, over the years, I've nailed down a couple of thoughts. There's two thoughts that perhaps must prevail in our life. I must believe the Lord that He is now filling me with His very self. Right now, I must believe this, or even standing here, that the Lord is filling me with Himself because I asked Him to and because I yielded. And that this week, God is going to fill you with Himself. And you must believe that that's what He's doing. By faith. By faith, I'm trusting Him to flow through me. I may not see it. I may not feel it. That's got nothing to do with it. But the truth of it, oh, how wonderful is that? So we say, work, Lord, work through me. I'm not to do, oh, you'll burn out, you'll be gone in a week. You'll burn out so fast by trying to be spiritual or trying to be holy or trying to get everything done. You can't get it that way. It just doesn't come that way. But He works through us. The one who lives within me wants to do things with me. Imagine that. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've got stuff for me to do. You've got stuff for each one of us here to do. And it's going to be pretty wonderful. You want to do things through me and around me? And what kind of, you might be saying, what kind of things? Everything from the ordinary of giving, witnessing, service, helping, caring, sharing, all of those things. We make ourselves available. The Lord might want you to, you know, you just feel prompted to go and pray for someone after the service. This is beautiful stuff when you see it in action. That you just felt the Lord, and you find that person again, and you go over there and say, excuse me, I just met you last week, but I just feel that you could use some prayer. And that person breaks down. Yes, I'd love some prayer. How is that? Well, you know, when you go home, the best part of your day will have been that time that you, the Holy Spirit, wanted to do something with you, wanted to do stuff with you. And we say, Holy Spirit, you want to do something? Yes. And who are you going to use? The pastors? No, not necessarily. But my people, each one of my people, I want to use them. And so we say, okay, Lord, I'm your huckleberry. Let's do it. Let's go. Come on, Holy Spirit, let's go. Let's see what could happen if each one of us, each day, just made ourselves, because we have a sense, a thought, that I must believe that He's filling me. Get out of bed. I don't see anything, but Lord, by faith, I believe that's happening because that's your plan. How wonderful that to have that would happen. They would think that it would happen. And so Jesus working through us creates this most wonderful, powerful situation. I wrote here, Jesus is completely for us. That's the first thought, actually. Jesus is completely for us. You have to believe that, or you won't move in faith if you don't. Thank you, Lord. You are completely for me. It's all that you are, you want that to be in me. Completely. He's not against us. He didn't come to help us out. He came to take over. He came over to set up His business. He came to overwhelm you, that you say, wow, oh, Jesus, what a great life this is. What a wonderful life this is, knowing that Christ is completely for us. Say that with me. Christ is completely for us. He's completely for you. He's completely for me. He wants to give Himself wholly to me. What? What? Jesus is going to give Himself wholly to me. Yeah, that's how it works. Every hour of every day to be with me. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. And we say, Lord, today seems kind of a mundane day. Kind of seems kind of ordinary day. Well, yes, I guess by the outward appearances, but when you begin to believe that He's got plans, that by faith, I believe that Christ is completely for me and therefore has some situations that will be wonderful. So that's the first one. Christ is completely for us. If you're not convinced of that, this doesn't work the right way that I'm trying to describe it here. So there's a second thought. So first of all, we are to be completely His for Christ. He's for us, we're for Him. And so we throw ourselves. I don't know if that's the right, well, for me it was the other day. I found myself wanting to pray, wanting to just avail myself to the Lord. And I read somewhere where somebody just literally threw themselves on the ground and cried on the Lord. And just to shout to the Lord. And so I just toppled over onto the floor and just laid there praying, asking, and wondering what God's up to. And you shout to the Lord, "I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. Thank you. You, the everlasting Son of God, have come into my heart. Oh, Lord, thank you. I'm yours. I'm yours." You cry out from the, and you'll know whether you've really cried out with all of your heart. Not little mamby-mamby prayers. Please be with me and guide me and direct me. But prayers that shout unto the Lord. The cry out to God. God, use me. Because the one who is for me. Now, Lord, will you use me? I'm yours, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I welcome you. I give myself to you. All that, a complete surrender. That's really what it is, a complete surrender. That I can do nothing else. The one who purchased my salvation is the one who wants to use me, wants to use you. We're all the same. There's nobody has any edge here. We're just ordinary people who have this desire to be used of God. A complete surrender. That all, in other words, all that I know about me, I surrender to all that I know about Him. And the journey begins. Lord, all that I know about me, do I know everything about me? I don't know. We're not really aware of that so much. But I surrender all that I do know. All that I do know about me, I surrender to you, Lord, that you would be magnified and glorified. There would be wonderful, wonderful things that would happen. So I completely yield to the Lord. And that brings us full circle of trusting God and taking the next step. Trusting God, looking for His supply, looking for His, and as the Shaw family, as they go, it's not all set before them, but by faith, it is. Right? Once they just said this was God's will for them, that's exactly how they're trusting God and taking the next step. And there'll be all kinds of steps, no doubt, all kinds. But God is in charge. That's the belief one must have. That, Lord, I believe you're in charge. And tomorrow is in your hands. And I thought, if there are 70 people, I don't know how many there are actually here, but if there were 70 people here that said, Lord, I give you, I turn everything over to you, everything. And then we cry to God and say, oh, Lord, make your way plain to me. Make your way plain. Lord, blow away any confusion, anything that's perplexing. And to throw myself into your arms, knowing that He's completely for me. And so therefore, in the light of that, I'm yours. Everything that you want to do. By the way, have you ever wondered why He saved you, but do you think there might be more to it than just getting you to heaven? I think there's a whole lot more. We say, well, I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to be saved too. I'm eternally glad to be saved. But there's something, other stuff's going on. Purposes, intentions. What are the intentions of God for your life? Because that's where the good stuff. He saved you, in other words, because of these things. These things that you are so perfectly aligned up for. You couldn't be more, there's nothing you can do that would make you more ready than you are now. And so by you receive that by faith, thanking the Lord for making your way very plain. That's what he's good at. Wonderfully good. He's in charge. And he saved you, he saved me for those eternal purposes. Nobody can do it like me. Nobody can do it like you. I'm absolutely unique. Carl and I could say something together. We would say the same. He'd say something, I'd say something. And we'd say it would, no matter how we twisted and turned that thing, it would still come out different. Because his gifting, his calling is a little bit different than mine, but it's the purposes is how God made him, how God made me. And what a journey. What a great thing that is. That the Lord has his hand on you. He's thinking about you. He's planning things for you. It's not just getting you to heaven. That's the easy part for God. The very fact that he is eternal life. He's not giving eternal life. He is eternal life. And so it makes me wonder, well, what's up? I wonder what's up. And here's maybe a better question. Are you in alignment with the Lord so that you get full correct connection? You align yourself with him and his plans and purposes. Say, Lord, it's just good to do an evaluation. Are you focused with the right, is your heart kind of, full and overflowing, and you've aligned yourself with the Lord? So they say, Lord, I don't know entirely what you're doing in every area, but whatever it is, whatever you're in this season, whatever you're up to, make me part of that. I want to be dead set right in the center, don't you? Isn't that what your heart's cry? Other than thanking him for salvation, how wonderful that he's got these plans. And so we say, Lord, whatever you're doing, God, whatever you're doing, don't do it without me. Let your purposes spill over into my life that I don't miss it. Right? I don't want to miss anything. I know you don't either. But all that would take, it just maybe take a little correction. It might just, maybe you've kind of got just busy. You haven't done, maybe ordered your steps quite the way they could have been. So it'd be a great thing, even here this morning, just ask yourself, Lord, is everything on track today? Is everything on track today? You can ask yourself right here, even as I'm speaking, you can be praying that prayer. Lord, is everything on track? Am I doing what you wanted me to do when you saved me so many years ago? Have I got it right? Am I on track? So I don't miss anything. You need pray that, and that's when God will move you along. Say, well, I'm in this situation. You just keep on with the normal stuff, but as you yield to Jesus and allow him to manifest himself. See, we can't do it. We can just yield. Can't produce anything. All we can do is say, Lord, you who come and live inside of me. My goodness, what a great thing. He's going to come and live inside of me. And he says, that's what I had all along. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ living in us and through us and in spite of us. We have this great, magnificent plan. How beautiful is that? Oh, Lord, make your way plain to me. It's a case of, really what it is, it's a case of hands up and letting go. That's what this is about. Hands up, letting go, and then rely on him in total abandonment. Hands up. That's the first part of it. Let go. You can't be hanging on to everything. You have to yield. And I have to yield. It's a case of hands up and letting go and then total reliance as we throw ourselves on him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, just talks about the constant changes. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. And the same image from one degree of glory to another. Little by little, he's changing us. Line upon line, he's changing us. He's up to something. Matter of fact, he will often, the things that he brings into my life to use me are things that, in a way, I sensed before. But then he clarifies it. And you have this view again and say, never thought of that. That's amazing how that tied in together many years later. And we just marvel at the hand of the Lord upon our lives. Can you miss it? Yeah. You can miss it by busyness, by not prioritizing, by just getting off track. There are all kinds, and I would say this with a tenderness in my heart, there's all kinds of people that aren't doing the adventure. They're caught up in the things of this world. That's why the emphasis that you get in Scripture, strong emphasis about being on track and following hard after the Lord, doing His will, love not the world, all kinds of things, because it hinders this thing that He's, when He saved you, that He had in mind for you to do. And so you give yourself a shake. Say, am I falling asleep? Is my Christian life a little bit dull now and out of shape? And is it because it can just be easily corrected? All you need to do is say, Lord, here I am. I feel I'm drifting. I feel I'm not zealous like I used to be. So what do you want to do with me? And He would stir me. Lord, stir me. Stir up my heart. Stir up my life. Don't let me, ho-hum things. But that whatever you want to do is fine with me. See, when you come to the place in your life where you don't really care what He does, as long as you know it's Him. If you want to do that, we'll do that. If you want to do that, well, it's fine, Lord. Whatever you want to do, it's good. Again, it's the case of hands up, letting go. Do whatever you want to do. I'm available to your holy purposes. And you can't help but wonder if that was a church on fire for God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how exciting it would be? And when all of a sudden you have a sense of God tapping you on the shoulder and say, I've got some assignments. And God will work it out as your life is unfolding here today. We don't know everything, right? We don't know everything that's happening, but you know some things, and there's a sense of it for you. And if you just trust God, take the next step. Do we always know? No, we don't always know. But I know that is the winning formula, because I've proven it over and over and over and over in my life now. The older I get, there's one thing about getting a bit older is that you get insight you didn't have before. Unfortunately, wasted on young people, right? We're here together, and I'm going to speak along this line next week as well, but we're here together to nudge each other to love and good deeds. We're here together to push each other and crowd each other that nobody miss the grace of God. Right, you can just get a lot of things going in your life. And if you were just to take moments here today and just say, please, please, Lord, use me. Let me be significantly used. See, not just the missionaries. As much as we want them to be blessed. Is it only the missionaries that are blessed? I don't think so. The calling, the journey is with you, with me, knowing that I've got relatives and needs neighbors, and there's all kinds of people, and we meet more all the time. And to know, is this a coincidence that we're connected to this and this and this? You find out it's not a coincidence at all, that God has gone before us, and now we're just running along to keep up with Him, because the Spirit moves. He does move. And the cloud, right? The cloud. I can picture that situation with the children of Israel, how that might have been. They just get settled down for the night and get the lawn chair out and get the Barbie going there and get it all ready and say, oh, this is nice, or set up. Cloud's moving. No. It can't be moving. The cloud's not moving. What are you talking about, the cloud moving? I just got set up. I've been walking all day. And so you pack it all up again, put the barbecue away, put everything away. Oh, they headed. Clouds moving, no, no. And I think that is kind of how it is. He doesn't check with you to see what you were up to. He just says, this is what how I'm going to use you. This is how I'm going to use you. And I look over, I think of people that I really am encouraged by. They have said to the Lord, Lord, whatever you want to do, that would be great. That'd be fine. That'd be wonderful. And they're yielded. They're fully yielded. And as they know that he's completely for them. It's a revolutionary thing to get a sense of that, that he is absolutely pleased with you. Don't get hung up on sin. You know, is there sin in my life? There may or may not be. I don't know your inside workings too well. But I know this, is that that's not where you focus. Focus on the living and alive one. The one that has intentions for your life. And let him shake you a little bit. Let him stir you up a little bit. But as you do that, you'll have this wonderful sense that he's in charge. And tomorrow is in his hands. Tomorrow's in his hands. I'm just staring over at Michael and Dorothy. They never had it. They were away and there was a leak in their house. And they had to move the whole house, or all the things of inside there. See, God didn't check ahead of time. So all of a sudden you got this colossal thing. One day you had it, one day you didn't. But it was a shock. And lots of things are like that, aren't they? They're just kind of shock to us. And we marvel. They didn't, hey, I didn't know that was coming down the pike. No, lots of stuff you don't know. But you adjust that and say, well, whatever will be, will be. But the Lord is in charge. And we ask him to make our way exceedingly plain. I've told the Lord the other day that, Lord, I for sure am not the brightest guy to get this right. You must keep your hand upon me because I'll never get it right. I know me. I'll be over here in the rhubarb. Right? I'd be from Saskatchewan, know what rhubarb is. I know that. And maybe you have a sense of that too. I know that I will never ever get it right. I'll be at the airport when my ship comes in. I just know that. I just know that. It's only by the grace of God that he's kept me focused on him by yanking my cord, making sure that I'm not getting off track. Although Val reminded me the other day of a fellow that we know, a lovely man that we know. And I had taken a year at Bible college and then didn't go back the next year. And so he sees Val and he says to her, tell Owen, don't get your finger out of the pie. What kind of word is that? What kind of word is that? Tell Owen not to take his finger out of the pie. You know what's strangely weird about that? I knew exactly what he meant. Not really. He was afraid that I was going off in a direction like that. That's what he thought. That's what, and thus the words that no doubt played. There was other words, but I thought, wow, God would do that. So as we wrap it up here, the onus is, this is the age to be. You can watch TV and perplex yourself to death. That don't get your strength from the TV. We've been watching news as well as you. Poof, boy, that's depressing. But we focus instead on what God's doing. Not what the devil's doing, but what God is doing. And then align ourselves with him that we not miss anything. That we don't miss anything. We're just ready and on fire. Lord, here I am. Praise the Lord each day. Start the day off thanking him for the wonderful plan. And the things that you thought maybe were dormant, the things that you thought were finished, are all of a sudden coming alive again. That happens over and over again for people. So it might be even here this morning that you have somebody or something in your life that God is stirring. That you, yeah, you remember that? I'm not sure who actually said this, but death of a vision, no, life of a vision, death of a vision. No, I can't forget the rest of it. But meaning that you let it die, thinking that if God wants to raise it up, that's fine, but I'm not going to do it anymore. And then rebirth. That's the word I was looking for. Rebirth. that's what happens next, just a rebirth. And so the very thing that you thought, oh, that was already finished and done, and now it's very active and alive in your life, my life. So let's just pray about this. It might be good, some of you that are here, that if you have a word for the congregation here this morning, we won't be here this afternoon the same way, 11 o'clock service, but here we are. And if you feel you have a word of encouragement that's pertaining to this subject. So, Father, we thank you. What a wonderful God you are. We so thank you for providing so great a salvation that would include a plan that we're fit for, that we're perfectly made for. So I would say to my heart, Lord, work a work. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Work a work in my heart. And may you be well pleased. We thank you. Anybody else? Just a short word. Yes. 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 Yeah, do the work.
This is the year of restoration. It's time for us to explore that we would use all the gifts that you have given us, Father.
Yes.
I thank you for your glory.
Yes.
I thank you that you are here, right here, right now.
Yeah, amen. Yes, yes.
Everyone say, I receive it, Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Today I will never be the same. I will do the work that the Lord has called me.
Yes. Yeah.
I thank you that miracles is happening right here, right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the healing of body. Thank you for answers prayers.
Yes.
God. Use this church, Father, to reach out to the North Shore.
Yes, yes. 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 Yes.
I thank you for your glory.
Yes.
I thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And we give you all the glory and the praises because you are pleased in this place.
Yes.
I thank you.
Yes.
We give you praises and adoration.
Yeah. Yes. Amen. One more. Yeah. 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 Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Everybody said? Amen. Yeah, thank the Lord. I believe the coffee pot is almost available. I think it is available. So thank you for being here this morning. Join us if you can, and we'll probably see you at the annual meeting.